This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, a lot to talk about today, Howard. There seems to be so much happening. Another report of a strike in Damascus being attributed to Israel. That's just coming out of the news at the moment. I'm not going to talk too much about that, but it's what seems to be more of the same things that we've seen before already. Of course, we have an election coming up on Tuesday. Officially, it is a holiday day in Israel for the election, another holiday day in Israel for the election. Current election updates. During the week, we had interesting opinion polls which showed that Yair Lapid's Yesh Atid party was really coming up in the polls and potentially even nearing the magical 30 seats in the Knesset. They're currently predicted to gain 26 or 27 seats, which could almost rival the number of seats that the Likud might get. They're predicted to get in the early 30s in terms of the number of seats. But certainly a big surge that we're seeing now in the last few days before the election by Yesh Atid. It still doesn't really mean anything in terms of the ultimate outcome. One opinion poll that I saw suggested that there might be a way in which the Likud-led coalition, the Netanyahu-led coalition, may be able to reach 61 seats. All will be revealed later on Tuesday. We have had a little rain, even though not much has been said about it. The rainy season is due to have started, and there have been some thunderstorms and things like that yesterday. But now a lot of discussion about whether Tuesday could be a rainy day, election day. Okay. And it is considered very significant because there are those people who say that if it rains on Tuesday, that this will be very bad news for the Likud, because a lot of the people who would normally come out to vote for the Likud may not have access to transport, may be less inclined to come out and vote if it's raining, that segment of the population, and therefore that could be very, very bad news for the Likud. As a little cyber strike against the Knesset website was noted, where the Knesset website was actually brought down on Sunday by foreign cyber agents. We understand that that was a Russian-based hacker group, ZakNet, that brought down the Knesset website, but it does indicate that there are foreign groups who are definitely interested in the outcome of the Israeli election, and some talk about the possibility that they might even be trying to influence the outcome of the Israeli election through work that they're doing in the cyberspace. So that's a little election update. Just one other thing that I wanted to talk about before lots and lots of news, which is that Google has apparently signed a 10-year lease to lease 20 floors of a new building that's being constructed in Tel Aviv, the so-called Toha 2 Tower, which is under construction in the central part of Tel Aviv, not far from the Azrieli Center. Google are going to lease 20 floors. It's going to cost them 90 million shekels a year to lease this space, which apparently is something like 50,000 square meters. The building itself will be a 77-floor building, of which Google will have 20 floors, and I understand that the cost to Google will be 150 shekels per square meter per month. That is the price of property in Tel Aviv. It seems to be the going rate, around $40 per square meter per month. That's what you need to pay in Tel Aviv for office space today.
Absolutely absurd. Really, really just phenomenal. The more we talk about this, the weirder it seems to get. Give us an update on the Nablus-based Lion's Den terror organization.
So quite a number of the members of Lions Den have been reported to have turned themselves in to Palestinian security forces. And the question is, why would they be turning themselves in to the Palestinian security forces? And the answer seems to be that they are afraid of being targeted by Israeli security, because as we know, the last week or so has seen quite a number of very targeted strikes by the IDF towards members of the Lion's Den organization, and of course also hitting one of their bomb-making facilities in the Kasbah of Nablus. And as a result of that, we're interpreting the current state to be that the actions by the IDF, which have been so targeted and very, very quick in coming, seem to have frightened the members of Lion's Den. And some of them have turned themselves in to the Palestinian security forces for protection. Apparently, Palestinian security forces have even put one of the leaders of Lion's Den into a prison in order to protect him, in order to try and somehow shield him from the long arms of the Israeli security forces. But the point is that if this is what's going on, if they're turning themselves in to the Palestinian security forces, if they are being shielded in prisons in Jericho and other places, which is apparently where this particular individual is being shielded in a prison, then it doesn't spell good things ahead for Lion's Den. It seems as if this might well stop them in their tracks.
Well, that'll be nice.
And may well also prevent the other organizations which were apparently linked somehow to Lion's Den from also gaining in strength. So as much as they were considered to be heroes and really attracted the attention of the Palestinian street, it seems as if they've really been cut down in their tracks. And we will be watching over the next few weeks to see what the consequences of these actions may be.
Yeah, it's well, let's hope that they disappear as fast as they appeared in our news. President Herzog yesterday met with President Joe Biden at the White House. What was discussed?
Yeah, so a very friendly meeting as we anticipated. It seems as if, though, the two presidents were very much intent on talking about the Lebanon maritime deal, which we understand is still due for signature sometime later today. So the two presidents, one thanked the other one for being willing to enter into such an agreement, which is President Joe Biden said to President Isaac Herzog that he appreciated the Israeli government's approach and the fact that they were willing to compromise where necessary and to enter into this agreement. Of course, President Herzog thanked President Biden for mediating in the deal and for allowing the deal to take place. And there was quite a lot of discussion around the Lebanon maritime deal. We hope that that will be signed later today. There was also talk about Iran, as we had anticipated. President Herzog has come out of that meeting saying that as far as he's concerned and based on the discussions that he had with President Biden, the Iran deal is off the table. That's the words. Those are the words that he used, that the Iran deal is currently off the table. So it would be interesting just to see where that goes. There was some discussion about Ukraine as well. It was interesting that President Zelensky, for the first time, has given some sort of a hint that relations with Israel may be improving from his perspective, and some sort of an indication that he is, in fact, somehow being helped by Israel, and has shown some level of appreciation for that. And of course, President Herzog, in talking to President Biden, said there are some things that we can't talk about in the general public, but that Israel is really trying to do whatever it can to help Ukraine in its war against Russia. One of the things that I liked very much and caught my attention was during the meeting that President Herzog had with Nancy Pelosi, who is the Speaker of the House. She mentioned the fact that Israel is preparing for its 75th anniversary, which will be celebrated early next year, 75 years since the inception, since the founding of the State of Israel. And it's not something that you hear spoken about a lot. I think it's a significant milestone, but it took Nancy Pelosi to mention this during her meeting with President Herzog, that Charles Schumer actually invited President Herzog to address a joint meeting of Congress, which is something that hasn't happened since, I think, a former Prime Minister Netanyahu addressed a joint meeting of Congress, and, of course, to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the founding of the State of Israel. So all in all, I think that President Herzog's trip to the United States has been successful, just reinforced the friendly relations that Israel has with the U.S., and I think that that's...
And the difficulty is, it's interesting, because one of the concerns, certainly that I had, was that the Democrats were wavering. You know, they have the squad, and there definitely seemed to be this move in the wrong direction. But as much as I might not be a fan of Biden, his administration has been very solid in and unequivocal in their friendship with Israel.
Absolutely. I think that President Biden himself personally has always been a friend of Israel. He's visited Israel a number of times, even before he became president.
Yes.
And he's ensured the fact that he visited Israel during his presidency, which is not something that we necessarily take for granted.
Absolutely.
We will recall, for example, that during the Obama presidency, that it was only in the second term of his presidency that Obama decided to visit Israel. We always understood that Obama was not particularly friendly towards Israel. I just wonder whether Biden might have wanted to do a little bit more, but just hasn't had enough strength, power, time to potentially undo some of the things that President Trump did during his term, which were very, very forceful and very deliberate. Whereas Biden, I just get the impression that he's less deliberate, and that he's just allowed things to roll on a little bit more, rather than taking a firm stand and saying, we do definitely want to do one thing or another. There's no doubt that he's friendly towards Israel, that he's well disposed, but I think that the strength of the Democratic view, which of course stands behind him, may well have been more influential if there was a slightly different president. So I'm not sure whether it's been deliberate to say let's leave it as it is, or whether it's status quo's easiest.
Interesting. Defense Minister Benny Gantz is in Turkey on an official visit.
So this has been very surprising, at least for me, because I know that Israel's ties with Turkey have certainly been warming, and been warming at quite a rapid rate, because for the longest time since that Mavi Marmara incident that we all recall, the ties with Turkey have been very, very problematic, and Israel's relations with Turkey really not good at all. And then all of a sudden a decision was taken, and to be fair, President Isaac Herzog has been very involved in warming these relations with Turkey. And now we see our defense minister getting on a plane yesterday to travel to Turkey to meet his Turkish counterpart to talk about defense-related issues, cooperation, agreements on the defense establishment between the two military powers in order to somehow cooperate one with the other. And then this morning it was announced that Defense Minister Benny Gantz will even meet with President Erdogan in Ankara later this afternoon, which hadn't been previously announced and also comes as something of a surprise. Israel has a very narrow path to walk here, because while Israel would like to have friendly relations with Turkey, undoubtedly there is the small issue of the relationship with Greece and the relationship with Cyprus, which can't be damaged. And of course, Greece and Cyprus don't have good relations with Turkey at all. So those need to be very, very carefully managed. I think that this is a very, very interesting time in Israel's relationship with Turkey.
It really is, and just amazing that this is moving in that direction. Finally, an Israeli court has made a final judgment to end an IVF scandal. What was the scandal?
So the scandal was that this couple were impregnated with an IVF, went through IVF treatment, and that the lady was impregnated with the fertilized eggs that she had believed that she donated, and she fell pregnant, and the family were very delighted indeed. And then it turns out that they did a DNA test on the lady and her baby to check for certain underlying health conditions, only to discover that the impregnated embryo does not belong to the couple.
Sure.
It's somebody else's embryo. The DNA didn't match. And there seems to have been a mix-up in the IVF lab at the hospital and they've impregnated the incorrect embryo into this lady. The court then became involved, deciding that there should be some sort of a trustee appointed in order to look after the child when the child was born. The pregnant lady and her husband wanted to keep the child anyway and opposed all of that. Finally, a court ruled earlier this week that the baby will belong to the birth mother, and there will be no questions asked. They have not, in the meantime, managed to match the DNA of the embryo to another couple, whoever they might be. That match hasn't been done. They haven't been successful. I think they might have tried but been unsuccessful.
Right.
But the court has now decided that this is over and done with. The lady who gives birth to that child will be the child's mother for all intents and purposes, and there will be no further questions asked. I think the right decision.
Absolutely.
That's what the couple want. That's
especially,
what the child will need, I think.
If that's what the couple want and they're fighting for a child that she carried and gave birth to, then I think it's the most wonderful decision, and I'm very pleased that that's how the court found.
Yeah, very, very challenging situation for all concerned, but I think the right outcome in the end.
Indeed, it is 8:01. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Thank you for a great week of reporting. Wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll of course catch you on Monday.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.